going to get? I don't know. That's a good question, I guess.
Because we found out Rod Williams, 6'5", 300-pounder on the football team, liked Disney movies.
Oh, yeah. I love Disney movies. Lion King. I had 3 Lion King birthday parties in a row when I was young. My mom would always ask me, hey, are you sure you don't want to have a different birthday party and, like, a different birthday cake? And I was like, no, Mom, I need Simba on my cake. So,
Brooke, we appreciate you taking the time. Thank you very, very much for joining us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show. And naturally, good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Let's hear it, folks. Brooke Bartosz, sophomore volleyball player for the Bearcats. When we come back, we'll have Adam Dorrell up here, and we'll talk about this big, big football game that's coming up against our arch rivals. We'll do that when the Bearcat Coaches Show returns, live from Carson Sports Grill, right here on KXCV, the flagship station of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's broadcast is underwritten by Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Services include open bowling daily, lanes and cosmic bowling for all ages, as well as lane rental for special occasions. Bearcat Lanes and Lounge, located at 1803 South Main, 562-2571.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services in Maryville. Founded in 1894, St. Francis Hospital and Health Services provides health care for residents in northwest Missouri and southwest Iowa. 660-562-2600.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Nottoway Valley Bank, serving northwest Missouri since 1868. Services include online banking and e-bill pay at nvb.com. Locations in Maryville, Savannah, St. Joseph, and Mound City.
And welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell.
And I'll give myself
a right, all right.
Hey, how about the kickers? I can't even get the kickers to clap for me. Are you serious, man? Come on, Goody.
Well, you know kickers. They're a little bit different.
I talk anyway, about him all the time,
I? Yeah, yeah.
Can't even give his coach a hand.
I think he's more interested in ordering food.
Right.
Good homecoming win for you last Saturday, 55-10 over Emporia State. And as we mentioned last week, truly was a homecoming game with being on the road the entire month of October. And it really was a great atmosphere on Saturday.
It was, Johnny. I do, on the TV games, I talk to the MIAA network today, and, you know, Rich Baldinger and the other gentleman, I just drew a blank on his name. They both commented on, you know, how many schools they've been to this year and been at their homecoming, and they just were like, man, that's a big deal there. And I'm like, I told you. That was very apparent to them, and, they love the Cannon crew across the way. So, yeah, it was a good win. It was a great atmosphere, and you know, it was just capitalized by a big Bearcat victory.
Now, when we talk about that game, it seemed like it got off to a similar start to what you had in the Northeastern State game, where Northeastern State came down and they were able to come up with a score right off the bat. But then you came right back, and it didn't take long to regain the lead. This time around, it was an 85-yard return for a kickoff by Jordan Simmons that turned the momentum very quickly on Saturday.
Yeah, it did. I know you and I had talked going into that week. We really thought that they were going to pooch kick and try to stay away from kicking it to our deep guys. And, you know, we just told Simmons and Shaw, trust us and, you know, go get it. And they did go get it. And it was neat to see. And he got a lot of good blocks on the way through. It was awesome.
And how much does that mean to be able to change momentum that quickly after Emporia State came down? Obviously, they were a little bit disappointed they didn't knock it into the end zone, but still got a field goal out of it. How much of a difference does that make that quickly to have the lead to wipe away that quick?
It does. I think it's huge. You know, we also talked about if we could get out and get an early lead, maybe put a little pressure on them. And, you know, they didn't respond well when Missouri Western got up on them, and they didn't against us either. So, you know, we changed momentum, and it was, I'm sure, very deflating to them. And, you know, we kept control of the football game the whole way out. And, you know, it's just a confidence deal. Confidence is such a fragile thing in athletics. And, you know, when you got it, it's great. When you don't have it and you're trying to get your team to get it, it's hard.
And you're able to run off 48 unanswered points after that.
Yeah, we did. I just complete effort. I thought, again, starts with us, our defense. Defense played really well, was physical, got the turnovers, and then get special teams. you know, just even Jordan, after his kick return, he had a couple nice punt returns for 12, 13 yards. And, you know, that's big in the return game. And we never got the field position really flipped on us. And, you know, offensively right now we're doing good things, but it's because our defense and it's because our special teams.
We talk about Jordan Simmons. What a day he had, again, with the 85-yard kickoff return. He had on what he did on rushing the ball, I think three touchdowns rushing on 90 yards. Also caught four passes for 34. He just did about everything you could ask for a guy.
He really did, John. He's such a special player. He has a skill set that's very unique at any level of football because he's got that vision and he's got the toughness to play running back, but he also can line up in the slot and catch passes and then factor into the return game. He's just, I mean, you know, enjoying, you know, Bearcat fans enjoying because he's one of those kids that they don't come along every day. They don't come along every year in a recruiting class, and he's just been so special for this football program for 4 years.
And the importance of getting him in the slot from time to time, that means you can get Franklin and Simmons out there on the field at the same time?
It really does, John. And in the football world and in football lingo, when you put two backs on the field, it's usually what we call 21 personnel with the tight end and two receivers. And then we come out, and then now we're really with two backs, but we're in three receivers and one tight end, and it really shrinks a defensive call list. I mean, just really shrinks it, and you know, then you put in with our check system, and then we can really kind of get them pigeonholed into a coverage or a front, and then we, you know, our kids are doing a really good job of executing right now.
And how tough is that for a defense to prepare when they don't see that type of formation very often through the season?
I think it's hard. I think it's you know, again, a unique deal that we've been doing the last 3 years with Jordan. And you know, I think it's difficult, and I always try to base that off what I see the next day on film, how much the defense is doing to us, or probably more what they're not doing to us. And so, you know, we feel like maybe we're gaining an advantage in that area.
I know one of the things you talked about, that you really wanted to get the ground game going, and last week you were able to do that. You got 90 yards out of Simmons on the ground, then James Franklin, 97 yards and two touchdowns as well. And what does that mean to your offense when you have both of those guys doing that type of job on the ground?
Well, I think it gives us a lot of confidence moving forward, and I think that's important. You know, this time of year, the weather's going to change. I mean, it's supposed to be 22-mile-per-hour wind Saturday, and, you know, probably a chance when you're going against the wind, your pass game's going to be limited and vice versa. So it was good from my standpoint. I think good for all of our standpoint, entire football team psyche, you know, to say, hey, we can run the football. You rush for 300 yards a college football game, it's been a good day, and I think we found maybe a little bit of our niche there.
And what it seems like it does, too, it sets up from time to time a big pass play, too. You got a couple of the DeFeo that was real nice on Saturday.
Yeah, Vinny's doing a really good job right now of catching those play-action passes. Gantz is factored in there. It just happens to be from a coverage standpoint. It's been Vinny that's been catching the ball. So it is. He's a nice little weapon down the seam. And, you know, factor in a couple of our other receivers, Shaw. It's just nice to be able to get those guys on some deep posts, deep backside dig routes and stuff like that.
Yeah, say more how Hinchy as the season's gone.
Oh, man, I tell you, he's just – I mean, we've got such a special, special group of seniors, but you factor in, you know, the type of season he's had. And I could go right through that list of those kids. Just what an awesome group. But I'm just so proud of John because John played a lot as a sophomore, struggled a little bit as a junior. For a kid, you know, from a psychology standpoint, to come back and do the things that he's doing, it makes us better as a football team. You can't key on Shaw. You know, you got Hinchy on both sides doing well. Then factor in that Bryce is going to be back and healthy this week. And, you know, that's a good three-receiver set we're putting out there right now. And then, you know, their guys that are backups playing behind them are playing well. Joe Zadis and those guys are doing some good things.
Yeah, it's nice to have that type of depth at the receiver spot, isn't it?
It is, John. I think it's just the strength of our football team across the board right now. You know, I said when we talked at the press conference in Kansas City in preseason about our football team and the structure of it, you know, I've been adamant with people all year, we may be not flashy, but, man, we're just solid across the board. And in a game of football, that makes you pretty good.
Now, on the defensive side, let's talk more about defense and the job you did against an Emporia State team that really until the last couple of weeks have been doing a lot of things offensively, putting up some things, and you're able to really shut down Emporia State.
Yeah, we were. You know, they didn't make much of an attempt to run the football, and that's okay with us. I mean, you know, if you're going to be one-dimensional, that's fine. I think that plays into our defense's hands a little bit. And they did a good job of stopping the run. Maybe it was by play call, but did a really good job of not giving up big plays. I was a little nervous about that because Emporia had done really well with that all year. You know, it wasn't until the third quarter where they got a couple vertical routes. And, of course, and again with the interceptions and the turnovers, it's just, you throw the football.
A big day for Colin DeBeiser as he ended up being the MIAA Defensive Player of the Week, 7 tackles. He had 1.5 for a loss, also an interception as well. And he's just been very solid all season.
Yeah, he's playing pretty good football for a guy who wanted to play college hockey. You know, he was a guy that kind of fancied himself. He thought was going to be a hockey player coming out of high school, and we recruited him out of Chicago and the Chicago area, and man, he's done a really good job. And again, you look at what he's doing; he's just they're all our seniors, but again, he's playing the pass well and he's playing the run, and just being an awesome leader.
And as mentioned, MIAA Defensive Player of the Week, and you've had a number of guys recognized upon the Player of the Week, but first time this season that a defensive guy's been.
Yeah, and again, you know, as well as we're playing defensively, you're like, well, why is it? Because it's a complete team effort, and it's you know, it's fun to see. I laughed when Philip Down, our SID, told us that Bud, we call him, was the Defensive Player of the Year. I was just thinking of Coach Bostwick. And when Bud was young, I mean, he's got some great Bostwick stories because Bostwick would get after him on a regular basis. So it's good. It's been really good to see the kid grow and turn into what he's turned into.
Talked about 3 interceptions on Saturday, adding to the total now up to 24 on the year, leading the nation in that. And you look at your turnover margin, it's unbelievable. Plus 17, and the nearest team is down at plus 7. So you're leading the conference in that as well. It's just an amazing job you guys are doing on defense.
It is, I take time to mention our defensive coaching staff is just doing an awesome job. Whenever you are with the defensive staff, you know, Rich is the coordinator, but he runs the D-line. Chad's the linebackers coach, and Kenny's the secondary. There's so many things that go into that. I could spend 2 hours talking about. You know, people talk about cover two, but there's a lot of things that go into cover two. You know, is your linebacker going to get to the hook to curl? And we do such a good job, our coaches do, of teaching our kids to pattern read. And when they see a curl coming on who's going over the top and who's jumping their out right now, and it's awesome to watch. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of hard work. And when I mean hard work, I mean those guys are up at 6 o'clock Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning with our kids watching film. And they watch from 6 to 7:30, and then we come back in the afternoon and have practice and have film study. So it's not by accident. And then that's what I'm very proud of our coaches and I'm proud of our kids because they're working at it.
That's one of the things that we've talked about in the broadcast for a number of years now, the job you guys do of breaking down that game film. And it seems like your staff does as good a job, if not better, than any staff you see. Finding a little tendency here and there that during a game is going to make a big difference as far as attacking another team.
We do. We really try to do that. We added some software this year. It's called Huddle. It's even made our jobs easier. And, you know, it starts with our graduate assistants getting all that downloaded, and they go through it initially and filter the data and put it in different categories for us, breaking it up by formation, coverage. And then as coaches, you know, full-time coaches, we go back through and sift through it and sort through it. But, I appreciate that because our guys, we work very hard at trying to put our kids in a position to be successful.
And sometimes it's just one player or two because of that turns the game.
It is. In the game of football, especially this time of year, it's you know, I know it's an old adage, but it is a game of inches, and it is a game of inches.
And again, as you take a look at the turnovers, we talked about being plus 17 on that. And the thing about that, too, is after you got the turnover, it's what you do after that. And you guys have really been turning those into points. I think scoring 159 points off of turnovers this season, that's huge as well.
Oh, it really is, John. And the thing, you know, I've said it for the last few weeks, from an offensive standpoint, when you're playing on a short porch and you've got great field position, it's great to do. It's easier to do. And the other thing is, from, you know, my standpoint, I've got so much confidence calling plays right now because our quarterback's making good decisions, and you know, we really feel so good about our defense that they're going to get us the ball back and they're going to play well. You don't call a game tight. You call a game with no fear, and you're just like, hey, if we don't get it in here, then our defense is going to pick us up, or our punter's going to go out and make a good punt, and we're going to pin them deep, and we'll try it again next time.
Yeah, I think you can kind of see sometimes that the other team's a little concerned once you get that ball, that you know the offense coming out and they're going to do something right off the bat there, and you can just see the momentum at that point really change.
Yeah, it is, and college football is a game of highs and lows and momentum, and you got to be able to swing the momentum at some point, and we've talked about that all week, and And, you know, for, good for us, some of the teams we played the last few weeks haven't been able to swing that momentum.
As we talked at the outset, it was homecoming, packed house at Bearcat Stadium, and just a heck of an atmosphere, and we'll see some of that again this weekend, I'm sure. But what does that really mean to the team when they come out? You're greeted by that kind of crowd and the atmosphere you get, especially after being on the road for as many weeks as you were.
It's awesome, John, but I want to take it a step farther back. I don't think our fans realize, you know, we had 80 recruits there Saturday. And you got kids coming up to you after a game just going, my God, you know, Maryville, Missouri, this is what goes on in Maryville, Missouri. And you're like, yes. I mean, this is the Bearcat Nation. And from a recruiting standpoint, when parents and kids come and they see a place like that, they see an atmosphere. And it's not just the football game. It's the festivities up in the parking lot. They feel that energy. They feel that enthusiasm from our fans. All the way down to our cheerleader. I mean, it's just a total team effort. But from a recruiting standpoint, to me, that's it's most important there. And then take it to our current student athletes again. That energy that they feel. I think sometimes people, you know, I'm always big on third down, holding up. It's such an important down in the game of football, and it just really revs our guys up. And our fans were awesome. I mean, they're great every week, but last week, I mean, that place was just rocking, and we got to do that again Saturday. And trust me, our kids feed off that, and they feel that energy.
Hey, the thing that strikes me too is it's a smart crowd. They know when to cheer and when they need to be a little quiet.
Yeah, they do. They do, and it's much much appreciated.
All right, now let's just talk a little bit about the schedule leading into this final game, where I think it's been factored in that Northwest with the fourth toughest schedule in Division II right now. And to go through that type of schedule where you stand right now, 9-1 of the season, has to mean a lot to you.
Yeah, it does. You know, we're proud of it. I mean, we're not done. We want to continue to grow up. But, you know, certainly, it's another thing you and I have talked about. Everybody wanted to talk about the schedule at the beginning of the season, and, you know, maybe this team's not playing that team. And, you know, it's helping the old Bearcats right now that we played the old MIAA, so to speak. And it's been a big deal for us in strength of schedule. East Central Oklahoma has finally started to win some games. You know, I really thought they would be one of the top teams in that league, maybe going, 10-1 or 9-2. And they've had some injuries, but they're battled back, and they got some good quality wins the last few weeks, and that's really helping our schedule. So, yeah, it's good to be able to play all those tough teams. It's really helped us out.
Again, we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell, and AD, a big game coming up this Saturday. Always a big game when Missouri Western's on the schedule, but couldn't ask for any bigger game. Last game of the regular season. You've got the conference title on the line, as well as playoff implications as well. Just couldn't ask for anything better for your final game of the regular season.
No, you can't, John. When you start working in January, and that's when we've been working with this group. You start in January when we got back from school. You know, the meetings, the insertions, the time in the weight room, the winter conditioning, it all leads up to this. And, you know, I've told people all week just to be a part of it. You know, how many teams across the country can say in the last week of the season that they're playing for a conference championship? How many games like that are in the United States this week? And, there's not many at all levels of football. And so for me personally, just to be part of it, it's awesome. It's a great feeling for our kids, you know, for our fans, for our community. It's a big deal, and it's going to be a great atmosphere.
Again, both teams 9-1, also 8-1 in MIAA play. And I know a lot of people have been talking about the playoff implications, but right now I think the big key, and one thing that you've always talked about as well, is if you take care of the conference, win the conference, then the playoffs will work themselves out there.
Yeah, we've always focused one week at a time, and people want to talk about that, and I understand why. You know, it's good people are talking about football. Our focus is just you take the next step. The next step is trying to find a way to get a win this week in Bearcat Stadium. And if you do that, you know, all that other stuff will take care of itself Sunday at the selection show.
Now, let's just talk about the matchup with Missouri Western. And as you might expect, going into a game where both teams are playing for the conference title, statistically anyway, there's a lot of interesting things to look at where both teams are putting up a lot of points, both teams doing a good job on the defensive side, limiting teams. So, again, a lot of the interesting stats to look at for Saturday.
Yeah, very two evenly matched teams, very similar, I think. Both have strong defenses. Both have strong defensive lines. They've got a good running back. We've got two good running backs. Both teams have good quarterback, and both teams have good receivers. They have a couple good receivers. I think get a little overshadowed. So, there's a lot of parity between the two teams.
When you look at Missouri Western, it looks like most of their strength's coming on the ground with Michael Hill, of course, leading the conference in rushing just about 170 yards per game. But obviously he is a very talented running back, no doubt about that. But how much of a factor is their offensive line in that? It looks like they're as good an offensive line as you'll run across.
They are. They're very big. They're physical. They basically get foot-to-foot splits. They run the inside zone, the outside zone, play a little toss, and then just play action off it and some screens. But, you know, what they do starts with their running game and those five guys up front, Michael Hill, and they're a good group. You know, the thing that people ask, well, why are they good? Well, they've got a lot of experience. A lot of those kids are three-year starters, so they're where they're at because they're a good team and they've got experience.
What makes Michael Hill such a good running back?
Well, I think he's a tough kid. You know, the things I've seen out of him this year, I think he does a really good job of finishing runs. And what I mean by that is a lot of times backs will just be content with their 5 or 6 yards and finish and go to the ground. He does a good job of finishing his runs and getting that 2 or 3 extra yards. And, you know, it's something that adds up over the course of 60 minutes.
When you look at their passing game, statistically, this doesn't look impressive. But one that really is impressive, the fact that when they pass the ball, they seem to do a lot with the game when they go to the area.
Yeah, they've got a good kid, number 11. He's a good player. And you know, they got a quarterback who's a coach's kid, and he's been around the game for a long time. So, you know, he understands it. So, yeah, they do a good job of setting up through their runs some play-action passes.
What about special teams? How the special
teams? Well, I think special teams are going to be huge Saturday. I may make the difference in the game, you know, and I feel really good about our punter, and I feel really good about our kicker. And again, they have a good punter and a kicker, so it's just there's a lot of parity in this game. It'll be very interesting to see.
What do you see as some of the big keys in this matchup?
Well, I think the big key is going to be turnovers. I think the team that can get the most turnovers is probably going to be the team that wins at the end of the day. You know, of course, we've got to try to stop their running game. It's going to be difficult because they, you know, they rely heavily on it, and they've got talent at those spots. So, you know, probably not going to stop him, but maybe try to minimize him a little bit. And then I think the key for us defensively is, you know, don't give up that big play-action pass that Western's gotten on people the last 4 or 5 weeks. And then, you know, offensively, we need to come out and do what we've done. We need to be balanced. We need to get the ball into our playmakers' hands. And, you know, when we get those turnovers and go, I think the other thing is you need to be aggressive in a game like this. There's no need to be tight. And we talked with our kids all week about keeping our composure. Maybe the team that gets that good start because they're composed and not caught up in the game, maybe the team that's going to come out on top.
Now, I know you're going to have to go here in just a little bit, but when I go through some questions that we've had from the audience that have been up here, so we'll kind of get to those a little early
sure.
for you here. But one of the questions that deals with, just, and some of this you just talked about, describing keys, but as far as defense, what keys to the defense determining the type of pass rush that you'll put up against Missouri Western or to try to stop the run? What are some of the keys to what you want to do defensively against Missouri Western?
Yeah, you know, I think a big thing is trying to limit their yardage on first down. You know, any team that runs the football as well as they do, you know, if they're getting 5 and 6 yards on first down, it just really opens up their whole playbook. You know, feel like if we can get some negative plays, some tackles for losses, I feel like that could potentially hurt them a little bit. And then, you know, we've done a really good job of mixing up our third down package all year, whether it's third and short, medium, or long. And we've got new stuff in for them this week. And, you know, kids got to come out and execute.
I know, again, that the main thing you want to do is take care of business on Saturday and then worry about the playoffs on Sunday. But you go in ranked third in the Super Region 3 rankings this week, so in pretty good shape in the rankings there, behind Minnesota State, Mankato, and Henderson State. But, again, what's the take you have on the way the rankings look going into this final week?
Say that one more time.
What's the take that you have as you look at the top six?
Honestly,
right now?
I just because I have to at this point, talked with our athletic director a little bit, and you got to look at different scenarios down the road as far as travel. I know this, there's a lot of big games being played Saturday, not just us in Missouri Western. There's a couple other good games in the region. So we'll see how it shakes out. And, you know, like I said, that strength of schedule, I really do feel like that's going to help us here down the road, and we'll just see how that comes out.
All right. Well, it's always fun to be playing a big game, the last game of the regular season.
It is. It's why you coach football. It's why you kids come to Northwest Missouri State. You know, we just hammer them in recruiting when they start, well, this and that. Like, you know, how many other schools can you go to and play in this type of environment, playing a game like this? And so it's neat to see it come to fruition.
Yeah, I don't think there's any environment in Division II football.
No.
And a lot of big ones that would like to have this
absolutely.
Kind of environment.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, John. We're very proud of it.
All right, AD, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Dorr. Dan, they've got a big game coming up on Saturday as they face Missouri Western. That will be a 2:30 kickoff from Bearcat Stadium. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 1:30 with Bearcat Game Day on KXCB Radio. So, again, our thanks to AD for being here on the show. We'll be back and much more for you on our coaches show, including conversation with Amy Phillips, the head coach of the Northwest volleyball team. That's coming up right after this timeout as you're listening to the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Today's game is being underwritten on the Bearcat Radio Network by National Investors and Northwest Alumni, RGO Smith and Greg Wilson. Services include asset protection and retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. National Investors, with a national office in Redfield, Iowa.
Today's game is underwritten by Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, and business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information from Shelter Insurance agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Jonathan Miller of Mound City. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by Mr. Goodsense in Maryville, serving sub sandwiches, hot pastas, salads, soups, and sides. Delivery service is also provided. Mr. Goodsense at 121 South Main in Maryville, 582-2368.
Welcome back to the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show, again broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's volleyball team, Amy Phelps. And Amy, a good season so far, 15-15 overall. And as we talked with Brooke a little earlier, a 9-8 in MIAA play. And one of the things as you look at coming off a win over Southwest Baptist, a 3-2 win, an exciting win earlier this week down in Bolivar. Talk a little bit about that match.
It was, you know, it was a slugfest. Any win that we can get on the road, I think for, you know, a young team is always a positive. I think there's easier ways to do it than we did. But you know, we showed great poise down the stretch. There was a couple of times in game five that we were down by two. We were down 11-9. And I called a timeout and just spoke to them like, we've got to put all of it out on the floor. We have to leave nothing out there. And I think their response within that was what really won the game, because they just wanted it more and showed more passion. And they did what needed to happen to get even to 11. And then we pushed ahead. And then I think the final score is 15-12. So it was good to see them respond, that they wanted it more than SBU.
I would think a match like that on the road, winning one in the fifth there, that has to be something that you can build upon for the last push here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the beauty of it, and this is what I talked about to our team before the game that day, was that this is an opportunity because, you know, they only take the top eight into the postseason conference tournament, and we're one of those that are sitting right there that this game could, you know, make or break us, and we have the opportunity to do it. And, you know, five other teams don't have that opportunity. And so for us, I see that win also providing us as an opportunity to go ahead and into the postseason and to keep practicing and to get better. And I think that's what you want. I mean, you want to have something to play for at the end, which with this postseason tournament, that really gives us something to play, because if we weren't going to be in the top of four in our region, a lot of teams right now, they have to make it to regionals. And luckily, we can play out. We can play that out. And, you know, it's looking like we might finish fifth or sixth, depending on the Truman match. And, you know, Tracy Hosa was telling me that the number six team in the soccer just won it. And so, I mean, I think that goes to show that you keep playing, you keep plugging away at the end of the season, and that's when you want to peak, and that's really what we're trying to push for.
Talk about peaking right now. You've won four out of your last six matches, the only two losses to a couple of nationally ranked squads in Central Missouri and Nebraska Kearney. But coming up with wins over Missouri Western, Lindenwood, Missouri Southern, and Southwest Baptist, a lot of those on the road there, too.
Yeah, I think that we're taking some steps up. I mean, for us, in order for us to take the steps that we need to beat the Trumans and the Emporians consistently, you have to take care of that bottom half of the conference. And when I say take care of, you have to sweep them, and you have to win at home and away. And I think it's a lot easier, obviously, to win at home than it is away. So we have showed some great steps, I think, as far as our team, to get those sweeps on the road. And I think when you have it the reverse and you have to play them on the road and then at home, it becomes a lot easier to get that sweep. And we've stuck our nose in there and, you know, pushed through some challenges on the road. And I'm really proud of, you know, how we've come out this year.
Yeah, again, I think it's what you're seeing out of your team right now in the last couple of weeks, something that this team's really growing as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think the last 2 weeks I've noticed small things that we've gotten better at. And, of course, the longer that you play, the teams that you're playing are going to get better too. But I feel like we've gelled and we've had, you know, degrees of improvement. And I think towards the end, that's what you do see. You don't see the huge leaps and bounds that you maybe see at the beginning of the season, and the next week you do a lot better. I think what you're looking at now is degrees. And I think our ball control's gotten a lot better. I think our defense has gotten a lot better. I think our setters are now starting to really gel with our offense. So I just want us to keep this going. I want us to be able to play deeper into the tournament so that we can peak even more.
And you've got a match coming up Saturday night, the final home match of the season with Truman State, a team you lost to in three sets back on September 29th. How, again, Mike, further on, we're talking about it a little bit, but how's the team grown since that first meeting with Truman?
I think that Truman was a key point in our season in the sense that we were 5-0, I believe, when we went in there. And that was like the first, you know, test in the sense of a ranked opponent that we'd seen. We didn't do well in that match, and I think at that point we stood back a little bit and lost some of our confidence, but then we've been able to regain that confidence throughout, you know, the last four or six matches. We've been able to grow from it and stand up and say we want to be better, and we want to play these teams tougher. And, you know, I think you saw that a little bit when we played Central at home. We played them fairly well, even though we all feel like we could have taken them that night, just based on them not playing very well. And we have to capitalize on those matches. But I feel like the progress that we are making is going to help us when we step on the court against Truman. We've always had a good rivalry at home, and it always seems like we play them at the end of the season at home, and it's usually senior night. And I think usually what happens with that, you see performances that you haven't seen before, just based on really honoring the seniors that are, you know, that we honor that night. And so I'm excited about the matchup. I'm excited to see what comes out and how passionate we are. And we had a great practice today. I think we had some tension going on back and forth across the net that we need with the competitiveness. And I think that it's gonna play well in our favor when we do take on Truman, in the confidence factor especially.
I know Brooke didn't want to give away any game plan for the match on Saturday, but when you look at this matchup, why do you see some keys on Saturday night?
Well, unforced errors is going to be a huge one. Unfortunately, against SBU, we hit that again, and we were the winner of the unforced errors, which you never want to be on that side. But we've also shown throughout the season that we can dial those unforced errors down. So I have hope that against a team, especially like Truman, that we can step up and understand when to swing for the kill and when to be a little smarter, and when you have that right set to do it as a hitter. And I think unforced errors is going to be a big thing. I think our middle is being able to close and our defense to be able to take a dig and turn it into a kill, I think that will be huge. I think those couple things, and if we can get them out of system, serve and pass is a huge thing in volleyball. If you're in system and you have a perfect pass up to your setter, it's very easy to get your offense going, and the block on the other side doesn't quite know where that set's going to be. And so from the standpoint of us in serving, you know, we have been a strong serving team this year, and we have to challenge them and respond to them. And I think that's really going to dictate if we can keep them out of system. Our defense has really stepped up this year. Tori Beckman's done a wonderful job. She leads the MIAA in digs. And I think if we get them to hit towards her, we can generate a lot of digs to kill, which I think will also play into us being able to be successful.
Now, you talked a little bit earlier that with this being the final home match of the season, it is senior night, and you're honoring three seniors coming up. Just talk about what those three seniors have meant to the program.
They have gone through a lot with this program. They've been through three different coaches. And from the second that I, you know, was given this interim position, they have done nothing but support Elaine and I. And I just really, really appreciate their support. Going through as much as they have gone through with all the coaching changes, I think they could be a little skeptical and have, you know, a different mindset. But, I mean, they truly believe that they wanted to believe in what Elaine and I were going to do and follow what we were wanting to lead them with, and I just truly appreciate that. As far as play, Tori Beckman has done a wonderful job with us. I mean, she's leading the conference, like I said, but 2 weeks ago she's about six digs a game, which is pretty big. But the other 2 weeks ago, she has actually, the two matches in that week, she went for 8.6. And so she was digging two more than she even had been digging. And so from that standpoint, she's just really spurred us, and she's stepped up as a leader and really has become the go-to leader for our, for not only our defense, but our whole entire team. Kelsey Larson has done a great job of stepping in off the bench when I need her, you know, to come in and spark us, and she gets some big kills and just provides stability. And Alicia Watson, the third senior, I mean, she's come in lately because we started to run a 5-1, so she's been playing right back. And I tell you what, when we needed digs down the stretch against SBU, she made them. And I think that was a huge difference. And, you know, for us to have that maturity in there with Tori, because we are a younger team, we don't have a heavy set of, you know, older leaders on our team. I think it was great to see them step up. So, I mean, they've done nothing but support and you know, really lead as best as they can and you know, follow. And from Elaine and I just really, truly appreciate what they've done this season.
Now, again, it's the final home match of the season, but hopefully quite a bit more volleyball to play. I understand that, again, you've clinched a spot in the NCAA tournament. You can finish anywhere from fifth to an eighth seed, depending on how things play out on this final weekend. So a lot riding on this match on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that, but I think on the other hand, I think we know we're in. And it's not like we're going to lay down by any means, but I think the pressure of, you know, we controlled our own destiny, to say, you know, at SBU, and we took care of that match. And I think because of that, what you have to really take into consideration on Saturday and what we need to play is the underdog role. And I think that's where we have to really grab that and say, we are the underdogs. We have nothing to lose. And let's just see what happens and let's have fun with it. And I think that's going to be a huge role that we need to embrace and to understand and just be a spoiler. And they're the ones that have pressure on them. They're the ones that have the rankings and all the things that are on them. We don't. You know, we are in the tournament, and we just want to go have fun and play the best volleyball that we can.
Talk a little bit about the format itself for the MIAA postseason tournament for those that might not be familiar with it. How's this format play out in volleyball?
It's a single elimination. And the top four will host, and then you know, the other four will travel to that team that they're playing, and then going on and moving on to the semis into the finals, it is the highest ranked team. So we will be on the road regardless. That's already been made, that the top four teams of Central, Washburn, Kearney, and Truman, they're going to be hosts. And so we know that we're going somewhere within that realm. And again, once we get there into that match, it's all about, you know, just playing your best volleyball at that point in the season. And like I said, the underdog role is something we need to embrace, and I'm excited to have fun with that.
Talk a little bit as well about, you mentioned a little bit, taking over as an interim head coach late in the summer, and being able to be the head coach of this team now in a spot where you have made it to the MIAA postseason tournament. What's it mean to you personally to be able to coach this team and to get them into the tournament right now?
You know, it's special. I think that, you know, we had some odds against us. But we had a team returning that Elaine and I, you know, the graduate assistant, we were familiar with. It's not like I just came here. I'd had one season under my belt. And so from the familiarity standpoint, we knew who we had, and we were familiar with the recruits coming on, and we had recruited some of those players. And you know, it just means a lot that they, every single day in practice, have they have come with an attitude of wanting to get better. And not only, you know, just the attitude of wanting to get better, like they want to be pushed. And I think from a coaching standpoint, that's fun to walk in the gym and know that you're going to get something out of that practice because they want to be pushed. And so I think hats off to them. You know, I'm sure there's been times that, you know, Elaine and I have not known exactly what to do in certain situations. And I feel like our team is really, like, been that guiding force that they've showed us all along that they want more than just being, you know, an okay team. They want to be a great team. So I just appreciate their effort that they've put into the whole season.
Well, it's been a heck of a season up to this point. A lot to play for on Saturday, and it'd be nice to have a good crowd that goes over to the football game on Saturday, just
Absolutely.
Stays on campus and watches a big match on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think along with AD, I mean, the atmosphere that we can put out there, you know, we can really try to draw that, that crowd from the football, you know, game. And I, us pushing our game back to 7 o'clock instead of 6, I think is going to help in the sense that we want to draw those people to come. So two things aren't going to be going on at once. And if we, you know, just have a quarter of the fans that football can have, I feel like it would be a great thing for us to stand out there as a volleyball team and kind of usher them in. We appreciate, you know, everything that they do for us, and we have fans that are there every single time, and, you know, we want to add excitement to this game, because this match, you know, the upset of this match would be really fun for our program, and it would be fun for, you know, our fans to see.
All right, and again, that is a 7 o'clock start at Bearcat Arena, so a lot of excitement on campus this weekend, and hopefully you can springboard into the MIAA tournament with a good match and a good win on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think that knowing that we're at home and having the fans behind us that are going to be there, I think it's just going to help us grow more confidence going into the postseason, and for our players to really start understanding what we're capable of as of a team. I think we're going to play a much better game than we did against Truman there. We don't have to travel, and I feel like today and tomorrow's practices are really going to help us be able to walk in there confident and take them on.
All right, well, Amy, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
That's Amy Phelps, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State volleyball team. Again, they've got a big match on Saturday. 7 o'clock is start time at Bearcat Arena as they wrap up the regular season at home with Truman State. We'll be back and have more for you on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. Located at 5th and Buchanan, 582-3131, or at MaryvilleGlassandLock.com. Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Sports on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Bearcat Booster Club, assisting the athletic department in funding improvements and providing equipment for the various teams. The Bearcat Booster Club, 562-1713.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, whose services encourage people to live, work, and do business in Nottoway County, providing regional employment, health care, and educational opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development, with more information at MaryvilleMo.org.
And welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm John Coffey, joined again by Rodney Harrison. Rodney, before we talk more about the sports activities coming up throughout this weekend on the Northwest campus, something to talk about as well coming up on Sunday here at Carson's.
Yeah, got some exciting news for everyone. You're all invited to come out to join the Bearcat football team and the coaching staff this Sunday at 4 o'clock for the live playoff selection show. That'll be Sunday at 4 o'clock right here at Carson Sports Grill in Maryville. And you're invited to come out and join the football team. They ought to be out here in mass, as well as the entire coaching staff. So should be a fun afternoon. That's Sunday at 4 o'clock right here at Carson's.
And again, hopefully they'll be coming off a nice win on Saturday as they face Missouri Western in football. So we check the schedule for this weekend. Don't forget, tomorrow night, the Northwest women's basketball team opens up their regular season at home. They face Quincy. That'll be a 6 o'clock tip-off. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 5:40 with our pregame. Then, of course, on Saturday, it's Bearcat football at home with Missouri Western. That kickoff has been moved back to 2:30. Our airtime's 1:30 with Bearcat game day. And then at Bearcat Arena, as we talked about with Amy, the Northwest volleyball team home with Truman State. 7 o'clock start on that match. And then on Sunday, Bearcat men's basketball team is home. They open up their regular season against Graceland in a non-conference game. That will be at 3:30 tip-off, airtime at 3:10 on KXCV. And then again, as Rodney was mentioning, the announcement of the NCAA Division II football playoff brackets at 4 o'clock right here at Carson Sports Grill.
And John, we don't want anyone to forget about the Student Athletic Advisory Council, as well as KXCV. We're going to be collecting non-perishable food items on Saturday as you come into the football stadium. We're also going to be asking fans maybe to, if they can, please just donate a dollar. There's going to be Northwest backpacks there at every entrance, and we're going to have some of our student broadcasters, some of our student athletes will all be there to take that food items and the monetary gift, if you would like to, as well. And it all goes to a great, great cause. You know, the all the food goes to the Maryville Ministry Center for their food pantry. And all the money goes to the Second Harvest Backpack Buddies program.
All right. Well, we need to take one more break, and we'll wrap things up right after this timeout. Again, we're at the Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville with the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Back to wrap things up right after this.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's Bearcat Radio Network broadcast is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice at 119 East 4th in Maryville. More information available at 660-582-7196.
This broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you by the Northwest Medical Center of Albany, Missouri. The Northwest Medical Center offers ambulatory and general surgery, cardiac rehabilitation, dietary counseling, and occupational therapy at 705 North College in Albany, Missouri. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from A&G Restaurant in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering located at 208 North Main in Maryville. More information available at agrestaurant.com. Today's broadcast is brought to you by MTE Office Center with locations in Maryville and Cameron, providing computers, printing, networking, furniture, and office supplies since 1935. MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron.
And welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show as we wrap things up on another show this Thursday evening. Well, thanks to everyone involved with their broadcast here tonight. Amy Phelps, the head coach of the Northwest volleyball team, also a volleyball player, Burke Bartosz, along with Adam Dorrell, the head coach of the Northwest football team, who's been with us. Again, don't forget a busy weekend on the Northwest Missouri State campus with a lot of activities and women's basketball tomorrow. The football game on Saturday with volleyball Saturday night and men's basketball on Sunday. And again, the announcement of the NCAA Division II playoff brackets on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. For Rodney Harris, I'm John Coffey, and we'll be back with you again next week on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
From the campus of Northwest Missouri State University, you're listening to 90.5 KXCV Maryville and 88.9 KRNW Chillicothe. Taking a quick look into our weather, currently it is 59 here in Maryville, 58 in Chillicothe, and 59 in St. Joseph.